We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan.
Bears, 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 football, football, football.
You know what? I'd like to say you're wrong, Molly, but you're not wrong very often.
David Haw.
That was one of the best questions you've ever asked.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to get an answer just as good.
Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score, the home for Bears fans.
I don't accept the fact that you have a head coach that when he makes a decision like that, it's not on him. It's got to be on him. He's got to be the head coach.
You are literally pounding the table.
I am pounding the table. I literally did pound the table there. But there wasn't a situation.
Oh, what the heck was that?
What was that?
Holy God.
Something just.
Did you see me jump?
Yeah, I did see you jump.
Like, what? I immediately got into like a karate man pose.
I know kung fu.
What happened there?
Well, no. Someone could have got hurt. Honestly, something just collapsed somewhere.
I don't know what collapsed.
Did you guys hear that?
I heard it, and I looked up. I mean, is there anything laying around you right now?
There's a body.
Look, this is going to seem a little bit out of the blue, but do you want to see a dead body?
Something fell out below me, I think it was.
Yeah. It was the banging.
It was.
That's what happened. He was pounding the table.
I barely pounded the table.
You pounded it with your shoe.
I'm going to fix the desk.
David is going to repair whatever damage he's done. I'm gonna yell, as a texter said, I yelled like Homer Simpson.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m.
You had a lot of things come out of your mouth this morning that I didn't expect.
On 670 The Score.
What the hell is going on in this show? Why don't you stop breaking the studio?
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was a complete Homer Simpson. Don't.
Yes, it was. Wow. Good morning, Molly. Happy Tuesday. We'll try not to break anything today.
I had even forgotten that happened.
Me too.
I mean, that's pretty funny. Thank you, Brandon, for that open.
That was funny. Yeah. I don't remember what I got carried away doing when I pounded my fist against the desk. I don't know if that caused it or not.
Wow.
I imagine it probably did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. That. I mean, things fall and you break stuff, but.
Get a little excited sometimes.
That there's a panel down there that they have to use to access this.
Yeah.
Television type things, whatever they are.
I don't know. It's just little miscue yesterday, fell out of place, put it back. All's good. How are you doing?
I live the dream, buddy. Yeah. I really enjoy the NFL. I think it always delivers. I think there are fun storylines to follow today, like quarterback go round. And I think that Tom Brady delivers in a way that you just, It's we take this for granted, but we're going to miss it.
Someday. Oh, I think so. Last night was a good Monday night football game because the way it finished, it wasn't necessarily great to watch as it happened, but you knew and
you
sensed.
But there was a Manning cast.
It was a Manning cast.
Yeah,
that was fun.
That.
But you sensed that there was going to be some kind of finish that was going to be familiar.
Why
and
does
it
that
was.
Happen? Do you, and I'm totally serious here. Do you think there's, and I don't want to call it an intimidation factor, but do you think that the New Orleans Saints are like Tampa, kind of waiting for Tom to win the game?
Well, you mean why does Tom Brady inevitably come back again?
How many is that?
Well, a lot. I'm not quite sure the numbers.
Officially, 44?
The sense is that when you watch the Saints play against the Bucs last night, they were confident, they were dominant, they were swarming. They did everything defensively that you could have possibly done for the first 3.5 quarters.
Right.
And then you got a sense that it was not going to end well for them because what Brady does, as well as, you know, anybody ever, this is not exactly breaking ground here, but he never believes he's out of it, and you never really connect what's happened with what's going to happen. So by the last night, in the context of that game, didn't matter if the offense struggled. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter if he was inaccurate. Didn't matter if he was ticked off, as we saw him on the sidelines famously and familiarly. He goes out to the field, and he's got that sense that he's going to make it happen. And they did. And they moved the ball down the field, and he wins a game with 3 seconds to go. And it's very, very familiar.
There are quarterbacks that dream of getting 44 starts in their NFL career. And this guy has 44 comeback fourth quarter wins. Think about that.
Yep.
And I know he's been around longer than anyone, and usually on good teams. But that was them fighting to get back to 500.
And it's very similar to the way that they were back in the season, his first season in Tampa, when they won the Super Bowl. They were scuffling along during the regular season, 7-5, I think it was, and they went on a streak, and they were Super Bowl champions. I don't know that that's coming. I don't think that it will, because the NFC, I believe, has other teams that are more qualified, and it's their time. But you can't rule the Bucs out because of what we watched last night.
Peoria Matt checks in this morning, and I love Matt, and he's always got something clever to say. And he says, "Morning, boys. Who won't the Cubs sign today?" And I got to tell you, like, if ever anything ever captured my feeling about the baseball meetings as a Sox fan, oh, another morning. God, there's going to be great action in baseball, but of course, the Sox won't be involved.
Well, I get that.
Unless they trade someone.
I get that from your Sox fan perspective.
The Cubs should be signing someone at some point.
I will say that today feels like an exciting day for the Cubs.
Okay.
I don't know that it's going to happen today, but if you're a Cub fan, I feel like you wake up this morning full of hope,
yeah,
full of excitement, full of anticipation, because things seem to be happening, and the
offers
signs
are out, David. Offers are out.
That's encouraging, though. That's much better than the rhetoric we have heard before. Like, oh, we're going to be careful. There seems to be a willingness to embrace that possibility this time around. Spending is being reported to be pre-pandemic levels, John Morosi says. We know that they met with Carlos Correa yesterday. We know that they visited Xander Bogaerts before. We know that they are pulling all the stops, and Dansby Swanson is a possibility. Trey Turner's off the board. So that was the first domino. Now what? And I think the now what is exciting for Cub fans.
I mean, certainly we have a lot of offers out there, and we'll continue to make offers. Like, whether things come to fruition or not, you never quite know, but it won't be through sort of lack of putting offers out there and trying. But you never know. I mean, getting deals done is complicated, obviously, but we'll certainly try.
Here's my problem with that. And I have a problem with that. Can you guess what my problem with that is?
I don't want to guess.
Okay.
I think the possibility, maybe, the vagueness.
No one's taken any of our offers, is what I heard. Okay? Offers are out there. Hey, Trey Turner, we'll offer you 11 years at $27 million. Like, there are ways to make offers, but it's the signing of the guy.
Well, I understand, right? The skepticism, but I think that it's also the first day of the winter meetings.
We've begun talking.
Yeah.
Offers are out there.
Yeah.
And then you're waiting for the counteroffer.
I think they're waiting for the market to develop. When you make an offer, you know this. I mean, the response,
like buying a house.
The response is sometimes delayed based on what else is out there for the person you're making the offer to.
The husband really loves the house, but the wife has no interest.
That kind of thing. Whatever the baseball equivalent of that would be.
Good cop, bad cop.
So you have Trey Turner who was weighing offers from the Padres, the Dodgers, I don't think the Cubs, but the Phillies, and he took it. $300 million, 11 years, wow. But he's got some reasons that were motivating him to act quickly. He has East Coast ties. He lives in Florida where the Phillies train. His wife is from the East Coast. All these things make sense for Trey Turner. But I understand what you're saying, because what I think, when we're looking at it through the Chicago prism, and you see the Astros sign Abreu.
Yes.
And you see the Phillies get Trey Turner. And you're looking at the Mets. Boy, did they pivot quickly to get Justin Verlander.
Wow.
All three of those teams won 100 games or more.
Mm.
So I want my team to be that aggressive to try to get to that
point.
You
want your team to have lost the World Series and then go out and make a massive deal to try to get over the hump.
Yeah, so I get it. I get it. But I think from a Cub fan perspective, I would think that you're hearing that and you're understanding that it can't all happen at once because of the tiered nature of the shortstop market. And now that Trey Turner is gone, let's find out what Correa's got to do. What's he going to do? He's going to weigh the Twins offer. He apparently met with them last night as well, and they are rumored to be making a very big offer to get their guy to stay.
Not good.
So we'll see. And the best part about it is the Cubs finally, again, it sounds good, but they have an opportunity to behave like a big market team.
Yeah.
And maybe get more than one of those guys.
I hear a lot of people say the same thing, which is, well, they better get one of the four shortstops. They better. Well, what if they don't? I mean, I get it. They've promised they're going to spend some money. That's what they've been looking at. But what if they decide at the end of the day that, you know, that money's getting crazy and we can do okay in this area or that area. We don't need to do that. Is anybody really going to – is there any recourse at all? I mean, is anybody – I understand people will be upset, offended, disappointed, but that doesn't mean there's any recourse.
Well, tremendously disappointing.
But
what other recourse would you have when your team doesn't do what you want it to do? As a sports fan –
stop turning up is the only thing you can do. That's
maybe.
The only thing you can do is try to hit someone in the pocketbook. I've never heard any idea of that ever being contemplated, and I don't suggest it. Because why rob yourself?
That's the thing.
Why
would you punish yourself?
Exactly.
Why would you punish yourself because Carlos Correa decided to stay in Minneapolis because they made him a slightly higher offer and he's more comfortable playing for the Twins? If that happens, I don't know if it's going to happen. But that's the nature of sports, Molly. You get caught up in the possibility and the anticipation. And right now, I think it's valid and understandable for Cub fans to get caught up in the possibility and anticipation because these things could happen. If they don't. Must react then. I will be disappointed. You will not believe in the Cubs' ability to get things done if they can't get this done, if they can't get one of those guys.
Okay, I know no one's watching the World Cup, and I know this is irrelevant, but did you see that a Saudi Arabian team has made an offer to Cristiano Ronaldo? So after the World Cup, he reportedly has agreed to a contract in Saudi Arabia. He's going to stay there. And he's going to play for a team for, wait for it, $211 million. $211 million. I mean, I get it. I get it. $300 million over 10 years seems like a lot of money. But imagine somebody getting paid $211 million for a year.
Yeah, that's...
Is that the idea?
That seems crazy.
How insane is that sort of thing? And I get it, you know, it's live golf money, whatever. But goodness gracious, I just wonder where these contracts will someday go. We're sitting here now talking. I don't know that we would have been talking. If Trey Turner's worth $300 million, then Carlos Correa is worth what? $340, $350 over 8 years instead of 11?
Potentially looking at a deal larger than Trey Turner's. What is Aaron Judge going to sign for?
Holy
He's still the biggest, player on the market in many ways.
Yeah.
And weighing the Yankees against the Giants while watching Tom Brady in Tampa. Did you see that picture of those guys embracing before the game? Did not know that Aaron Judge was a big Bucks fan.
Well, the Yankees facility, as you've been there, is right there. I wonder if he was just a competitor.
But you're right. I mean, the money being thrown around in professional sports is hard to comprehend. It's hard to believe that we are where we are, but when Ronaldo's being offered $200 million and Trey Turner, a shortstop who's a leadoff guy, who's an important player, but a $300 million guarantee over the next decade, it does seem excessive. At the same time, it's understandable when you see what these teams are worth.
And we have a texter checking in. Rebuilding teams don't need $30 million mercenaries. Why would disagree? I think that's exactly what they need. I think if you're rebuilding, that means you're spending. And if you're spending, you want to be at the top of the market and you want to get the best players, right? Isn't this the whole strategy with the Bears getting that down on the salary cap? It's so they can go out and sign five guys at $20 million a year, right? It's not so they can get 10 million a year guys.
I would also submit that the Cubs, if that is the reference, they're rebuilding. That process was in earnest the last two seasons.
Yes.
But you've got to start this season winning. You've got to start this season contending. And this is part of that process. You cannot go to opening day and ask your fan base to suffer through another 90-loss season. That can't be the design. That can't be the plan. You've got to do things that imply that you're serious about contending in a division that's winnable.
Yes.
That, to me, is the mandate for this offseason.
If we learned anything yesterday, it's that their division is much more winnable than the East or the West.
Yes.
Right? Is that fair?
Yes.
I mean, is that not a way of looking at it?
Well, right now it is. Yeah. But when you see the Cardinals being in on the shortstop market and being in on the Contreras market, and you know they're going to have pitching, you wonder if everybody else is going to be chasing the Cardinals, who already have two MVP candidates at the corners. But the point is well taken. The West, loaded. The East, stocking up.
Yeah.
The Central is where you want to be.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, again, I'm not telling people how to spend their money, but you did say you were going to spend some money. So feel free to go ahead and make some people happy.
Feel free.
Get a player that makes you want to go out to the ballpark and see him play.
Or get two.
That's simple.
Or get two. I like that combination.
I like that idea.
The Swanson-Correa combination or the Bogarts-Swanson combination.
Wow.
If you want to get greedy, you ask the Cubs to get two of those guys instead of just one of those four.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
I don't think it's realistic. They're going to do that, but that would,
well, it was,
would raise some eyebrows. And I don't even know if that's a winning formula, right? Because the Texas Rangers, as we talked about yesterday, they're
good
always
going to –
get somebody, but how much they're paying for
good
what?
Reference. And they got Seager, then they got Simeon, and they paid $500 million, and how many games did they lose?
Exactly.
Now they're going out and they're overpaying Jacob deGrom. So I don't know if you want to follow that necessarily. I would settle for this. Go get your Correa or Bogarts or Swanson. Get one of those three guys. Go get your catcher, whether it's Vasquez or they're linked to Sean Murphy, according to John Morosi. Get your catcher. And then, hey, by the way, Chris Bassett, they're linked to him, the starting pitcher in the free agency. I like that, too.
Yeah, I mean,
I like that too.
Listen, I like all the ideas. I do. I like the concept. Conceptually, let's go. But the reality is that you're probably – and I don't know, is being smart about your spending, is that about only giving the money to the best players, or is it about settling for something a little less in order to have a little more for something a little different?
What would be a little less in settling in your mind?
Dansby Swanson.
Yeah, I think probably true. But if it meant you could get one other player with the money you theoretically saved, I'm all for that.
Yeah,
I think I want to evaluate at the end of this, even though it's fun to talk about it as it's developing.
You know, but here's the problem. The problem is when you hear people to say, the Cubs offered $40 million with 2 years for Abreu, and then the Astros went 3 years at 60. Well, obviously no one wants to go 3 years at 60. So you wanted them, but you weren't going to pay them.
Right.
I mean, this is like – we had a seat at the table, but ultimately the guy went out.
I understand that. I think that there's certain levels of priority when you go into the offseason.
I totally agree.
Maybe Abreu wasn't at the top of the list.
And that is fine, and I got no problem with that. But that means you should land one of the priorities.
Yes, because that would be my response to what you just said. Okay with Abreu, you can understand if they didn't want to go 3 years for somebody 36 years old. You can't get outbid if you have that seat at the table with Carlos Correa.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you can't allow to happen.
But that's the sort of thing that's more likely to happen when you're talking about a guy that has multiple offers, right? So I think that the problem becomes, with all this stuff, is that there are a limited number of players and there are a lot of teams. And you said you were going to do one of these deals. Now, there's no recourse if you decide, that's not the right one. But understand that everybody is kind of waiting with bated breath for you to do something.
I think that's a good way to put it. That's the pressure that we have to apply. That's the nature of professional sports in a market like this. They're not waiting in Kansas City or Cleveland or other places that are smaller markets to see if Carlos Correa says yes or no and reaches for a pen. They're sitting this one out. That's why the Cubs have sat too many of these out. Get involved. Think big. Go bold.
And you know, I hope they will. I hope they will. But if this we have a lot of offers out, if they're all $20 million short, well, you're not going to get a lot of players signed, right? So God bless you. We were interested. We did have a conversation. We got a lot of offers out. It comes down to what you've done and how you're going to get it done.
No doubt about it. I would rather them be involved in with many different people rather than concentrate on one and fall short. Because now this gives them an ability to pivot if for whatever reason they lose out on one of their top targets. Unless you saw something, I didn't see anything linking them to Trey Turner except for a reference that Jed Hoyer liked the player. But who doesn't like the player?
The player is likable.
Yeah,
for God's sake.
I understand
he's
that.
He's a good player.
So he's a good player. Yeah. There's a lot more out there. And today could be a lot of fun, or it could be just another day of waiting.
All right, we got a lot that we're going to get into, a lot to talk about. We got some fun stuff with the Bears. You know, I think we're going to pick apart a lot of things that were said, and I enjoy doing that. There was one that really kind of jumped out the page for me, and I'm sure, I believe that there was one for you as well. We'll pick it all apart. We'll figure that out. We have talked about college football all year long.
Oh my
we
gosh.
Know that the playoffs are set, and we know that the Heisman is now set.
I love the Heisman. I love the trophy. It's one of the best trophies in all of sports. I used to love voting for the Heisman when I did that for a lot of years.
Do you strike the pose yourself whenever you're playing?
Yeah. I do. I'd like to strike the pose.
We all have, at some point in our lives, like completed a pass by the Volkswagen and struck
yes.
the pose.
Yes. You know what it should be, though? It should be a different statue now because it's just the best quarterback award,
essentially.
We'll get into that.
Going.
But I'm very distraught this morning about college football. I don't know that we're going to have enough time to get to it, but this whole thing about the transfer portal definitely distresses me. I'm very perplexed. I'm very agitated. I'm not liking what I'm seeing with the transfer portal.
That's very interesting because I think that this is the new reality in college football.
There's 1,000 players in the transfer portal.
And you know what? You need to have we've talked about this, the equivalent of like a pro personnel director.
You do need
to keep your recruiting going, and you can't lose your top recruiter, but you better have those guys talking with your you know, whatever you call it, your personnel boss in charge of the portal, and you better make sure that if you got an issue, if you're switching teams, if you're a new coach coming in, you got to win the portal, man.
You do need
That's
to win the portal. It's
it is anything.
A reality of recruiting, but you also need a college football czar to reestablish some guidelines because nobody anticipated it would lead to this, just a free-for-all Wild West mentality. Players going into the portal several times throughout the college career. They're going to have three different programs, which is going to be the norm.
But the portal opened. So should you push the portal back till after the bowl season? Because I get it. You got to get your team lined up for next year. But there are teams going into the college bowl games with players in the portal.
I know. That's
like important players.
That's the absurdity of it, Molly.
It's
you're
absurd.
Exactly right. And yesterday, December 5th.
We would never have awarded you that portal if we knew you were losing all of that.
Right. Well put. December 5th was circled on every college program's calendar as the most important day of the calendar year. And why? You have to have some limits. There has to be some guidelines. It's good in theory, but in reality, I think it's already broken.
All right, we got to get to all of it. We have the pick six next. We'll pick apart all the stories of the day in the fine world of Chicago sports. And by the way, what a beautiful day today. Did you feel like kind of the bracing cool in the air? And man,
it does. It's very good for December 6th. It feels great, doesn't it? I'm ready for spring training.
Let's go. 312-644-6767. We're going to get to your calls. We got a big show planned. We'll have Big Z and Coach Wanstead will be here. We're going to head to San Diego and talk to John Heyman. We're going to talk to Mike Florio. We got tons of stuff for you. The Pick Six starts us off next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Did you like hearing Matt Eberflus give a positive review of Alex Leatherwood's 10-play debut over at right tackle? Did that jive with your review of the game, and do you like the plan with him moving forward?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the plan moving forward is that he's going to compete for the job, and if he shows enough on Wednesday, then maybe he'll get more reps. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to let him play so you determine whether he's a part of what you have for next year or not, or if you need to go out and continue to build up that offensive line. So, you know, the last four or five games of the year sounds like a nice little trial run for the guy. And, you know, his 10 plays were fine. I went back and watched the game again. I mean, did he jump out at me like, oh, my God, there's Alex Leatherwood? No, but he was all right. There was no – I mean, there was just no reason to think he can't play. And I get it. Riley Reiff is a veteran guy, and they've chosen him over Larry Borum, but they're paying more money to Alex Leatherwood, so let's see him.
Well, you want to see more of him, right? You got to know what he is. I have to be honest. Watching the game, I don't know if the good news or bad news, I didn't know that he was in for the 10 plays.
That's the good news.
That's the good news, because he didn't do something wrong.
That's the good news.
Right, but usually I'm paying attention to that. I didn't notice it.
Right.
And
you have to go back and look.
I have to go back and look. And now I do want to go. I didn't get a chance to yesterday to do that. I'm curious to watch those 10 snaps specifically. But I do think they need to – there's no reason not – you know what Riley Reiff is, okay? You know what he is.
He's not going to be here, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, so I think it's important to play – again, Alex Leatherwood. Now, if he's going to get Justin Fields hurt, then no, don't play him. But then you'll have your answer of exact. But I think Alex Leatherwood needs to go through a week knowing he's going to be the starter and see how that plays out.
10 plays against the Packers, I think, is a good audition and a good test, and he passed it. I did not enjoy Matt Eberflus's review of those 10 plays as much as I enjoyed Tom Thayer's, who committed them to memory and watched very closely, and he is the analyst that we know is breaking this down, and if it's good enough for Tom, it's good enough for me. This is what I want to see in the final four games. The Bears have this bye week. Now they have an opportunity to regather and do the same thing and take the same approach they did during their mini bye week. And we know how that went. They leaned into the running game with Justin Fields. They leaned into the running offense with this dynamic quarterback. Now they've got to continue to find a balance there, but also realize what these last four games represent. And that's a chance to find out what you have in a player like Leatherwood, what you have in a number one receiver like Claypool. He's got to be your number one receiver in the final four games. You want to see what you have in N'Keal Harry. You want to see what you have in Velus Jones. All these guys who are going to be part of next season potentially, you want to see what they have now.
Now let's open it up to questions.
Here we go. Boom.
Boom. Given the chance to publicly push cornerback Jalen Johnson for the Pro Bowl, Matt Eberflus instead pointed out those selections typically are players from good units with better statistics.
I wouldn't just say that for any player to be able to get into that discussion, your unit has to play really well, you know, number one. So if you have a top unit, then your name starts to get tossed in there more. And then as an individual, because I believe that to be true, that you get more recognition when your unit plays really good. The second thing is that you have to have individual stats. You got to have, at that position, you got to have picks. You got to have, you know, deflections. You got to have, tackle really well in the secondary. So that's what I would say about that.
Did anything about Flus's comments surprise you?
Well, yeah. Kind of did. Now, I have a ton of respect for Matt Eberflus. I love the way that he is a practical thinker. I like the way that he applies common sense to football. You know that I like a lot of what he has to offer. I would never hire him for a PR job, because he had an opportunity there to amplify how good Jalen Johnson is in this defense, how perfect he is for the cover two, the things that he does as a player that are unappreciated and not reflected in the statistics, and why he, too, the Bears, is a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback, why he does the little things well and they get overlooked. But you did not hear that. You heard that, well, you know, once he's part of a good unit and once he gets those picks that he doesn't have, much like he talked about Roquan Smith. The thing about Roquan Smith you never heard from Matt Eberflus was effusive praise over the top. Jalen Johnson, the same deal. This was a layup. This was a fastball down the middle during batting practice for Matt Eberflus, and he just hit a nice single to right field. He could have homered. He didn't.
I can think of about 100 things Matt Eberflus is worried about other than Jalen Johnson being able to go to the Pro Bowl or not. This team has 3 wins. His defense that he's talking about isn't exactly playing very well. The health of the franchise's quarterback is still up in the air. The lack, I mean, we don't have enough time. I'm totally fine with this. He was being honest and open and transparent, all things that we should want. He does not have time to sit around and make a case in his head for Jalen being a Pro Bowler.
It was a really interesting answer because it was absolutely accurate and it was true about what it takes to be a Pro Bowler. And he answered the question with sort of this distance. Yeah, well, here's how it goes down and here's what you do. The thing is, the reason the question came up is because Aaron Rodgers had just complimented Jalen Johnson. And it was like this idea, wow, everyone thinks Jalen Johnson's good. Hey, coach, could he make the Pro Bowl? What you say is, oh, Jalen is definitely going to be a future Pro Bowler. We have a lot of belief in Jalen, and we think he's a hell of a player. Instead, he like broke down, well, the Pro Bowl is a game that is played at the end of the year. I mean, it was just not the answer that was sought, and the easy answer would just be compliment the guy. But it kind of reminded me of, well, if a guy is on the field, then he is healthy and he's going to play, and you got to make that play. It was just a little different, Dustin. I get what you're saying. He's got a lot of balls in the air. He's got a lot of things to worry about, and getting a guy to the Pro Bowl isn't one of them. But it is, as David points out, this PR operation. It's not hard to throw a bouquet at a guy when the quarterback talks about how good he is.
I would like to, I'm sorry, David. I would like to go back, and I'm usually Mr. Take Everything Out of Context. I would love to hear the question leading up to the answer.
Oh, he answered the question. He just didn't give the kind of answer.
No, but I mean, was the part about what Aaron Rodgers said included in the question?
Oh, I doubt it. It was just.
If that was included, then I think it makes it even easier. I'm just saying, if you're sitting there, I don't think that's running through your mind.
Well, but it's not exactly calculus class, Dustin. It's your football coach asked about your best cornerback, whether or not he's going to make the Pro Bowl or whether or not, what he means to your team. We're never going to have to worry about Matt Eberflus becoming emotionally attached to his players. Let's just say that.
Oh, boy. Good question.
The voice of Dave Wannstedt will be in studio for two big segments starting at 7:45. How do you feel about Bears coach Matt Eberflus saying on the coach's show that he expects Khalil Herbert, the running back, to return through the Bills game on Christmas Eve? How much will that help the Bears down the stretch?
Boy, that really surprised me, to be honest with you. Khalil Herbert's been out, and he's been out of my mind. And I've been looking at the Bears and trying to figure out, okay, Justin Fields now can get healthy in the running game, him and Montgomery, that's how they're going to be attacking these teams. It never occurred to me that Khalil Herbert would be back, frankly. I mean, I know that's me not doing the math, but he's just out of sight, out of mind. And I was surprised that not only is he coming back, but he's coming back relatively soon, right? He's only going to miss one more game, and he should be back in time for the Bills. And, there's a nice little Christmas surprise in your stocking.
Well, speaking of not having attachment to your players, you want to talk about unnecessary, unneeded hits that he's going to now take by being in these games. What they're doing is they're protecting Justin Fields. I heard yesterday that they're even going to go more wildcat to lessen the hits that Justin Fields is going to take. If you're that worried about it, he probably shouldn't be on the field. But I guess to answer the question, I mean, I'm surprised by it, and it just means that it's just another guy that they're going to have run the ball. I mean, it should help. I mean, he was productive, but I think those hits would be unnecessary depending on what they feel about him moving forward.
The hits are unnecessary on Khalil Herbert?
Right, at coming off an injury?
I don't want to pick on you.
Go ahead.
But what is the purpose of the exercise? This is professional football. What does Khalil Herbert do for a living? He is a running back.
More faith in Evan? Like, moving forward.
I don't care.
Of course you don't care because I'm saying it. But is it because Evans is a guy?
This is you with bubble wrap, buddy.
I'm saying that.
Your response here is, well, he had a boo-boo. The news is, hey, he's getting healthier and he's going to be back. And your response is, don't bring anybody back. Don't have anybody play. It's you could hurt someone. You could get hit by a bus if you go out to the street. Stay in the house.
You
hide
can't
in
play
the
scared. You can't
play,
run an organization that way
play
either.
Play football under the bed.
So what's the purpose of this question then?
The purpose of this question is that, frankly.
Great. Herbert's back.
No,
ooh.
No. Dustin, when Khalil Herbert went down, I don't think there was the expectation, number one, of him coming back on Christmas Eve. Number two, we've spent the entire day, Monday morning, Monday's press conference at Hallis Hall. Give me another 30 seconds here, please.
The bell rang.
I know the bell rang. But the senator from the studio took all my time.
The senator from conspiracy has the table.
The thing is, this was a surprise. This is news. Matt Eberflus broke this news, and I think that when you see something like this happen, it's encouraging. It's positive. This is what you want. You want to compartmentalize injuries, and you want to give a guy who's going to be part of your future a chance to prove that, number one, he's still going to be part of your future, and he's going to be the player that you remember and he was before the injury, because Khalil Herbert runs the football for a living.
And you got to make a decision on David Montgomery, in case you missed that one, Dustin. Which is probably they have to make a decision on Jalen Johnson in another year. Maybe that's why the coach won't compliment him.
That's a great question.
What does Trey Turner's 11-year, $300 million deal with the Phillies mean to the shortstop market and the Cubs' ability to sign one? With Arizona reportedly now seriously pursuing Bogaerts, and are you worried the Cubs will get shut out?
I think you're always worried the Cubs are going to get shut out. I'm going to maintain that they need to get one of these four guys. One of them's gone now. Arizona may be in on Bogaerts. There's all kinds of rumors and reports. I like the one that involved the Cubs kind of appealing to Bogart's Red Sox sensibilities and bringing Napoli and Rossi and the guys who knew him back in Boston, telling him. And John Lester was involved. Did
John
you see
Lester.
That? You got to love that.
Yeah.
John Lester still helping the Cubs, telling Bogarts what it's like to play at Wrigley Field. And that, to me, gives them a chance. I still think Correa is my number one option. Let's see where that goes. The Twins are talking to him. And certainly Dansby Swanson, not his consolation prize. I would be excited about the defensive possibilities of Swanson and Horner. And one possibility even suggested, why not Swanson and Bogarts? So everything's still on the table except for Trey Turner, and that's okay with me because I think I'll maintain this. The Cubs, now with the three remaining, have to get one of those three.
Cake and ice cream, okay? That's what the Cubs are going for, cake and ice cream. There is absolutely, positively no shot that they get shut out of this entire thing. It just isn't going to happen. And if Xander wants to go to Arizona and play the Chris Bryant card, head out west to a team that means nothing and never be heard from again, but have generational wealth in the checking and savings account, then God bless.
Yeah, I like Dansby Swanson, but if that's what the option is instead of getting shut out, then I would wonder if they got shut out. To me, they've got to get one of the two. I don't think they're going to get Correa because I don't think they want to pay that kind of money, but they better get Bogarts. And I think Bogarts is going to make pretty big money. So the idea that Arizona's after him, whenever you hear of other teams interested, that gives you a little pause because – you're going to be running out of bodies soon. Dustin, would you really be happy if it's Dansby Swanson? Would you really feel like, well, they won, they got one of the shortstops? Or might you say, no. What's wrong with Nico?
I won't be a hypocrite. No, I said, if you're going to go Dansby Swanson, then just leave Nico Horner at shortstop.
I'll talk you through that one, if that happens. I'll talk you through that one.
We'll get to that conversation. But I'm serious. I hope that's not what happens here. I really do, because I think it's half the money we're talking about.
Right.
And that's, I guess that's smart spending. And listen, whatever they do, we'll find the beautiful silver lining. But the fact of the matter is, I think they should be really aggressive and go after the best player they can get.
Also, when you see teams get involved late, it also could be agent-driven, agent plants.
Exactly.
Because you need more teams involved, the market develops, and the price goes up.
That's true.
No, it's a fair question.
Mark Feinsad of MLB.com reported Liam Hendricks' name has come up in trade talks, and Hendricks has a limited no-trade clause that allows him to veto a deal to five teams. How surprised would that be to you? How would you feel about the Sox trading their very popular closer?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I think that they don't have a lot to trade, in my opinion, and I think that they might have some options at the closer position, and, you know, there's part of me that thinks Ronaldo could step into that role. I think the thing that frosts me about it is that they've given contracts to guys that haven't helped them at all, and so they now might have to trade a better player, but than the waste of space guys that they have eaten money in the bullpen. But I think that it might be a solution. I think their problem is they've got to give up something to get something. And, you know, listen, I think that Liam Hendricks has been fantastic. I've gotten a kick out of him. He's a great guy to hear talk about it. Love the whole South Slida thing, and that's all great. But the reality of life is you got to give up something to get something. There's value to him. He's also aging, and he is not a pitcher. He is a thrower, and he's throwing the hell out of the ball. I think that if you could make that move, I would definitely be in approval of it.
I don't like that at all. I think he's good for Chicago. I think he's good for the team at 35th and Shields. If the White Sox are going to be something next year, don't you need to have a closer, like a real proven guy? And you're gonna turn the ball over to Ronaldo Lopez? Lopey?
Yes, you are. Yes, it's his time. Yes, this makes sense. If you are limited by whatever limitations you have imposed upon yourself going into free agency, as the White Sox have apparently done, you're going to have to go to the trade market. The only thing you have to trade is your closer. The only thing people want on the White Sox that you're willing to part with is Liam Hendricks. So as popular as he is, as much as he's great to have, you know, in front of the microphone, You have to be willing to give up something to get something. And Ronaldo Lopez might be ready for that opportunity. I don't know if he's going to be the answer, but I think that it's okay to create that question. You have some backup. You have Kendall Graveman as well in the bullpen. Maybe he is the guy that emerges if you get rid of Liam Hendricks. I don't know who's interested, and I don't know what it would be in return. But when you hear Rick Hahn say whatever he said yesterday, and I had to put that into the White Sox translator, which is right next to my Google translator, and I think he said he's open-minded to a blockbuster. Well, the only thing they have that would qualify as a blockbuster to give up would be Liam Hendricks. So get it done.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What did you make of Woj wondering out loud on the four-letter network if the Bulls will consider trading either Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, or Vooch to the Lakers unless something changes over the next few weeks to change the course of their season?
Do the Bulls pivot at some point this season? Do some of their players become available? That's not the case now, but I think for the Lakers between now and February 9th, are there some high-end talent that is not available now that becomes available closer to the deadline?
Are we speaking of a certain guy who just was paid $215 million and is from Southern California? Might his name come up?
Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic. I think those are all players, people in the league, teams are waiting to see, will any of them be available by the trade deadline? Right now, this is a Chicago team that wants to make the playoffs, wants to get a healthy Lonzo Ball back. They're not ready to concede yet.
Should the Bulls be open for business?
It's a very interesting month ahead. Bulls are 9-14. They got a day off yesterday. They reconvened today. Big month ahead. Big week ahead. They are extremely disappointing. They were supposed to be the fun team. They were supposed to save our winter in Chicago. Not happening. I think over the next month, we'll know the answer to that question, and we don't know it right now. I don't think the Bulls know it right now. I think this kind of conversation, this kind of speculation from informed reporters, guys who don't exactly make a living by being reckless, they know what's going on. They know where this is headed, and it's not any positive direction if you're the Bulls. You can trade any contract in the NBA. You can trade any player. Heck, Trae Young in Atlanta has fallen out of favor with the Hawks because he's got it at an impasse with the coach and he's arguing and he skipped the game and all of this stuff. He may be available, goodness sakes. I don't know if you want Trae Young. I don't know if you want what the Lakers would give you in return for Vooch or DeRozan or Zach. But I think this is the way the NBA works. And if you have a disappointing season and you're in the midst of one in late December, then all of these things are possible and everything's on the table.
Well, I think that's just it, David. I mean, what in the wide world of sports would you want that the Lakers have? I'm a bunch of, like, the next decade future number one picks? I mean, they're not going to give you Anthony Davis. That doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, what do they have that you would actually want? I mean, you talk about a guy who can't play with a boo-boo, okay? That's Anthony Davis. Guy is soft as Charmin.
See his last 10 games?
Yeah.
See his last 10 games?
No, I didn't because I'm in bed because they play
MVP
out west.
Caliber the last 10
okay,
games.
Okay, well, then would he act like that if he was back home?
I want to see that trade. I trade all these guys for Anthony Davis. That's fine with me.
All right,
so
DeMar, and Vooch for Anthony Davis.
Let's do it right now.
I mean, it's good for us. Something to talk about because they're very disappointing right now. Very disappointing.
Anthony Davis coming home is what you would be asking for. Here's what I don't want is like a collection of trash and, as you say, some bad draft picks.
Or that contract of Russell Westbrook's would be an albatross.
That's the problem.
The expiring contract,
well,
whatever.
Well, you'd have to take West.
Still.
I'd be willing to do that, provided Anthony Davis came with him, okay? So your question is the right one, which is what do the Lakers have? I mean, this would be teardown stuff if you get to that point and trade them to the Lakers for anything other than Anthony Davis. And they really don't have anything other than Anthony Davis that would appeal to anyone about building a team for the future. So asked and answered, counselor. Sounds good to me. 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. We're going to get to the extra point next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 the score.
Who would you vote for the Heisman Trophy among the four finalists? All QBs, Georgia's Stetson Bennett, USC's Caleb Williams, TCU's Max Duggan or Ohio State's C.J. Stroud? Who will win the award? Any surprise Alabama's Bryce Young, last year's winner, wasn't among the nominees?
Little surprise. Bryce Young wasn't there, but he didn't have the numbers to support it over the season, perhaps. You typically get the benefit of the doubt at Alabama, so it's a little surprising there. I think that the best story for me would be Max Duggan from TCU because he started the season as a backup, got the job in week one, came out of nowhere to have the kind of season he had. They're in the playoffs, so you like that. Stetson Bennett, this is a career award, career achievement, game manager award. I don't think you give the Heisman Trophy to a game manager. That probably understates his value, but I don't think he's as dynamic as these other quarterbacks who are finalists. C.J. Stroud, I think he didn't finish strong enough for me to think that he would be deserving. He was on his way, and then I think, relatively speaking, did not have the kind of finish you want as a Heisman Trophy candidate. I'd vote for Caleb Williams. He's the guy who won it in the last month. He's the guy that, to me, is the most exciting player in college football. He's the guy that, if he were coming out, he would be the consensus number one overall pick. He can't. He's got to wait, so... What he did with Lincoln Riley's offense, I'm not a huge Lincoln Riley fan, but quarterbacks who play in his scheme win trophies. And they are dynamic, exciting players. And Caleb Williams is just the latest, and he would get my vote.
I'll tell you right off the bat who I wouldn't vote for, and that's David's guy, Caleb Williams. Bad guy, bad off-the-field guy. Check out social media. Likes to paint his fingernails. Wonder what he wanted to paint it on his fingernails after they blew a lead and lost to Utah and avoided the college football playoffs. Nice job, Caleb Williams. So if the Heisman Trophy is supposed to also be part of sportsmanship and what you do off the field, then Caleb Williams shouldn't even be going to New York, let alone posing with that award. You know, Bryce Young, you know, probably the best player of the group if you're just talking players, but David's right. The numbers don't support it. But another cool thing about the Heisman is he will be there. All the Heisman past winners get a vote to on the award, so he'll probably be out there. I'm sure he'll be out there as the guy who had it last year, so he gets a vote. My vote would go to Stetson Bennett. Georgia's on the cusp of winning back-to-back national championships, and David's right. He is a game manager, but he is very important to that team. I don't think he's the best player in college football. That's what this award is supposed to be, but I don't know that any of these guys are the best player really in college football.
The best player in college football is probably Will Anderson, followed by Jalen Carter. Maybe 1-2 or maybe co. I don't know how
you separate
them.
You're right.
And if I'm drafting, I'm looking at it differently than the Heisman Trophy. But the Heisman Trophy, you said it earlier, this is a quarterback's award, okay? We're giving it to the best quarterback. And, I got two brothers who went to Notre Dame, Dustin, and they are not Caleb Williams fans because of the way he beat Notre Dame and the way that he posed for the trophy and all the rest of it while doing so. And I think that's coloring your vision of who deserves the award. I think Caleb Williams is going to win the Heisman Trophy. And I do think, David, that you would look at it through the lens, if it were me, of the system the guy runs and how the quarterbacks that he has coached have become Heisman winners and all that. And I would look at that if I were a quarterback, frankly, and I was thinking I wanted to win a Heisman Trophy. So that's a huge benefit that you have there. I think he's going to end up winning it. I like your argument, Dustin. David, I like your idea, too, with a guy that wasn't a starter that came in, and the idea that you have the quarterback of a two-time national champion if it works out that way. I get the C.J. Stroud thing. I think he finishes second, and I think it's a pity that Bryce Young didn't have a good enough season or an injury or whatever it was that limited him. But let's just call it what it is. It's no longer the best player in college football. It's the best quarterback.
It's the best quarterback. That's why you heard Gus Johnson, the Fox, great Fox announcer, before the Ohio State-Michigan game, or maybe it was before the Big Ten championship. It was last week, I believe, talking about building up J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, he made a case.
As a potential Heisman finalist. And J.J. McCarthy, who I have a ton of respect for, you know, we both like to see the way that he has developed and put Michigan in this position, and he's been a big reason why. But I don't think he's a Heisman Trophy finalist either. No. I think that just reflects how much of a quarterback award it has become.
That's what it is.
And how this year there's no real obvious choice.
And it used to be a running back award back in the day. So, I mean, it's totally understandable that there's been a shift in the way that that we view that award. But, I mean, look, there have been tons of really great college players that were never even never considered for a Heisman Trophy because they play defensive tackle or offensive line or a position where you can dominate and be the best player in the game, but it doesn't matter because you're not the guy that's touching the ball on every offensive play.
So yeah.
Makes sense that it's a quarterback award, and it makes sense that Williams is going to win it because he plays in a quarterback-driven system that has created plenty of
ideas. Can I make one more provincial comment on this? Chase Brown would have as much of a case as any non-quarterback to say that he maybe belongs to be among the final group or in the top 5 or 10. Chase Brown not being a first-team All-Big Ten running back from Illinois is a travesty. A travesty. Why would you have first team anything in a conference where you have the leading rusher, a guy who is the reason a big part of Illinois' resurgence, not be on the first team? So he has had a terrific season that I think has been largely overlooked by a lot of people.
Why is that? Why do you think that is? And I'm being honest, I think, like, you know, Michigan has had a great running back. He's hurt now, and they don't seem to miss him. Have they fallen apart since he went down?
No, I think because the respect level that Michigan gets, a guy like Blake Corum is going to get more respect just from tradition and the things that we look at. Because college football still, as much as certain things about the portal and everything is new and different, and yet it's a Wild West, the thinking still tends to be very conventional. And I think we look at brand names as much as we do in any other sport. So Blake Corum from Michigan, check, box. He had a great year. But I think that with Chase Brown at Illinois, Illinois is not that program.
Quickly on Caleb Williams, if he doesn't transfer, does he win that award?
No.
So the only
– No.
I mean,
That's a great point.
This is a portal award is what you're telling me.
It definitely is. That's a great point and a way to connect to what we were saying earlier about the portal. Caleb Williams is in – Los Angeles only because Lincoln Riley took the money and ran. And Caleb Williams followed. Caleb Williams going to USC to play in that system afforded him the opportunity to win the Heisman Trophy. And when he wins it Saturday night and he's making his speech, I hope that he thanks somebody from the NCAA transfer portal because that is the reason that he will be up there.
Does that then change the way we look at the transfer portal? I'm just saying, we talked earlier about this idea that the transfer portal is there, you know, ostensibly it's to help players so they don't get buried somewhere and they get to move. And if coaches can move, why can't players move and why punish them? But, you know, we're in a world of participation trophies and we have nothing but athletes that feel upset if you're not catering to them and they're not getting whatever it is, or they see you don't like me and you've got two recruits coming out, I'm getting the hell out of here.
They're entitled and they want to be empowered, and they should be because the coaches have the right to move on whenever they want, regardless of the contract. But here's my problem with the transfer portal very briefly. There are two college footballs, and the transfer portal caters to the small percentage of college football players who are headed to the NFL. It ignores, and it's bad for the rest of us, the rest of those guys, because the people who go to the programs because they feel privileged to get a scholarship that pays for their room, board, tuition, and books, those are the people who basically, frankly, the transfer portal does more harm than good. And that bothers me as a college football fan, somebody who benefited from that system. I think the system does a disservice to the people, and there's no commitment anymore.
The reality is, David, that if you had a teammate who was like a seriously good player, he would get in the portal and go someplace to play at a higher level in order to try to get the dream of turning pro.
That's the motivation now.
Yeah.
It's not because I'm going to go to Toledo, let's use it as a Mac example, and be the quarterback that takes them to the bowl game or has a winning season and a great career. It's I'm going to have this great season, and maybe Ohio State will want me next year. Right. Or maybe Oklahoma will have an opening. Or maybe I'll go to Pitt because they have an opening. It's free agency, and the motivation level has changed forever for these student athletes, in air quotes, going to these programs to try to you know, for reasons that never existed before.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
I mean, at that point, once you throw that ball, you anticipate the throw, and then boom, he jumped it. And then really at that point, you just like to see the receiver, you know, come back to the ball. You know, we always just try to tell the receivers that, you know, those DBs are going to, you know, they want that pick each and every time. So they're going to attack that ball. So, yeah, that's just a, you know, timing throw, anticipated throw, and I think 23 just made a good play on that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. That is Justin Fields in the postgame talking about the first of his two fourth quarter interceptions. And that was the one, that was the crucial one. I believe the Bears trailed 20-19 at that point. And everybody, you know, the coach went after Equanimeous St. Brown, and you heard the quarterback talk about the receiver. Well, that receiver was Equanimeous St. Brown. And he did not speak after the game. He got out of there. I don't know what his
I don't know the circumstances. No, I think that we can.
But he was at the podium yesterday.
Speculate, but he did finally, reach the podium on Monday at House Hall.
And he was asked about what went wrong on the interception. And let's take a listen.
I mean, like I said, they squat on routes. They squat on curl routes. And he's a good player. He made a great play on the curl route that we ran, that I ran. And, yeah, I got to try to get that ball out sooner. Yeah.
Was that the only coaching point for you on that, was to kind of maybe make a better play on the ball?
Yeah, I mean, he made a great play. Like, he was sitting right at the depth of my route. So I just got to try to, you know, get that ball out.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's what
did you hear? What did you hear?
Well,
there?
I heard exactly what he said.
Right.
And you know, Dustin and I were arguing about it earlier. And feel free to jump in, Dustin. He said, did I read it or did I hear it? And I said, well, I read it first, and it jumped out to me. What I heard him say is, I got to get that ball out earlier. He's not the guy throwing the ball. It's the quarterback that's throwing the ball. Dustin believes he meant to say, I got to get out of my break earlier.
I think he meant to say, I need to get out of my break earlier. He did not say that,
What did he say, Dr. Freud?
He said what was on his mind.
He said that the ball needs to be out earlier.
He said what was on his mind.
And then and as it kept going, I think also what he meant was that he should have gotten the ball away from the defender.
Okay, Dustin.
He did say that, yes.
I'm not arguing that point, but if you listen to what he said.
Absolutely. He said word for word exactly what you said and what you thought he said, for sure. So,
and that to me is a Freudian slip. I mean, I believe he misspoke. And he meant to say, I need to get out of the break earlier and get back to the ball.
But he probably meant to say he.
Well, that's what that leaves you to wonder. How can he get the ball out earlier? He being the receiver. Quarterback's got to get the ball out earlier.
So you think that in Equanimeous St. Brown's mind, he holds Justin Fields somewhat responsible?
I think he
mostly
holds,
responsible.
I think he holds Justin Fields as responsible as Justin Fields holds him.
I think you're right. I don't disagree with that. That may have been just an honest mistake. But I do think that it would be understandable if a receiver viewed it that way. You could see a receiver viewing it that way.
Well, I've never heard of a receiver not viewing it that way, first of all. And I'm not taking a shot at St. Brown for his answer. I'm just saying I need to get that ball out earlier.
That's interesting that you point that out. I heard something else that stood out to me in that explanation that was, again, maybe a little bit of semantics, but as we parse every sentence here, he called it a curl. Justin Fields called it a dig. So did, I think, Matt Eberflus. There is a subtle difference in the two routes. One is deeper, one is shorter. I don't know. Maybe one guy was running one thing and one guy was expecting another. I don't know if that's the case. But we all know that J.R. Alexander read Justin Fields from the get-go and wasn't fooled by anything because Equanimeous St. Brown didn't try to sell his route or didn't successfully sell his route well enough because he wasn't going full speed like he might go on a deep route. And he was chopping his feet like guys that size do. And he was running a curl. Maybe Justin Fields expected something else, but there was a miscommunication.
Justin Fields, greater than sign, Equanimeous St. Brown.
All day, every day.
It is not like I'm taking a position that, well, you know, Fields is really at fault. It was an anticipatory throw, and you expect, we've wanted him to throw these all year long. He's been criticized for trying to see the ball in too often, and we've heard that from different analysts. Justin Fields did exactly what he's supposed to do on the play, and the wide receiver did not come back to the ball correctly, or, as you're pointing out, didn't sell the route correctly, or the quarterback was staring him down, and the corner never believed that there was a deeper route involved, and so he could step inside and make that pick.
I think it's all related.
It's all all those things
all
can
related.
Be true.
They're all true.
But the fact is, okay, counselor, that he said, I need to get the ball out earlier. He didn't say, I need to cut out of that break earlier. I need to do a better job of selling it. The quarterback shouldn't stare me down. He said one thing that he has no control over is how quickly the ball gets out.
Which I think, though, I am agreeing with you because I do think that you tend to look for these little hints. But I also, then, if you carry that out, the mistake wasn't in releasing the ball too late, because if you release the ball earlier, you're going to be even more trouble. It's still going to throw the pick. And maybe that's what he was referring to, the fact that he did throw too early and didn't wait for the route to develop. Let's face it, he wasn't open. And you can talk about letting it rip and the trust factor that's important. The fact is, he wasn't open.
And listen, I mean, again, I'm on Justin Fields' side in any argument. Let's not get this wrong. But I'm just saying, I don't believe for a second that the wide receiver believes that's on him.
I agree
with you. As much as the coach pointed it out and the quarterback.
I agree with you. But let's also reinforce this idea. It doesn't have to be an argument.
Right.
It's not an argument. This is a analysis of the key play in Sunday's game, which led to the Bears' loss. Not every observation about Justin Fields has to induce an argument locally.
And Jair Alexander, I'm not trying to start one. Jair Alexander called the guy a scrub, and St. Brown said that he got a text from him apologizing for it before he even heard it, and he said that he wouldn't take it personal.
No,
that's just why would you not take that personal?
What else?
I would have been like, Jair Alexander is a total jerk, and anybody who knows him or played with him knows it. Selfish. I mean. How do you let a guy call you a scrub and stay above the fray?
Very forgiving, equanimity of St. Brown. Very, very tolerant and dismissing it as all DBs talk trash. I don't want that.
I
don't want that being said about me.
I agree.
I would not have taken it as well as he took it publicly when he faced the music 24 hours
later.
He's
clearly a better man than us, and he's clearly a better football player than us. But we're not the standard for football players.
Although,
or men.
I agree. We are not the standard for either. But the way that he ran that route, I think that he was highly coverable. He's one of those receivers that you don't fear when you line up against him at whatever level, because he's not going to run by you. Yeah. And when he runs in front of you, you kind of can he telegraphs what he's going to do.
Yeah, yeah. It's scrub. It's a problem.
He's
all
no
the way.
Scrub, though.
Well, we don't want no scrubs.
We don't want no scrubs.
Bigs time next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 at the score.
I just got to try to, get that ball out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best.
best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.